So when I was a boy, I watched a movie called Jason and the Argonauts. Maybe you've seen this. It's an old movie. It's an epic fantasy adventure based on a 3rd century Greek poem, but it was also a box office flop at the time when it came out in 1963. Later on, it was recognized as a classic, but for me, most of the movie was largely forgettable, except for one scene that has never left me. It is a scene where there are skeleton warriors, through stop motion animation, which is pretty remarkable for its time. These skeletons just rose up out of the ground and they began fighting like living soldiers. And to an 8-year-old boy, just watching that on the screen, it was just completely mesmerizing. Skeletons moving around with purpose, skeletons with agency, with strength, skeletons commanded by a leader who battling the heroes. And besides just being mesmerized by that, what struck me then and now is the contradiction that's at the heart of that scene, because skeletons are the remains of what once lived. They are the picture of death. And yet there they were on the screen, no longer dead. We know better than that. We know better than that because we know that dead things don't live. We know that dead things don't act like that. Dead things don't come back to life on their own. Certainly don't go into battle, because dead is dead. Except not in that movie. And also not in the vision that was given to the prophet Ezekiel that we're going to talk about today. So we're now in the 5th week of Lent. We are moving steadily toward Easter. Holy Week is right in front of us. Begins next Sunday, in fact. This season is a journey. It's a journey that we have been saying is from dust to glory, from Ash Wednesday to Resurrection Sunday. And along the way, I hope that you are getting this, we are all being prepared for Resurrection Sunday. Today's theme is this: God brings life where there's only death. He brings resurrection life from spiritual death. And the key truth is simple and it is big, and that is in Christ, the dead are raised to life. Now that idea, we see a foreshadowing of that idea that is seen in the work of Jesus in the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel's ministry takes place during one of the darkest moments in Israel's history. It's during the exile of Israel, where Jerusalem, their city has fallen and the temple has been destroyed, and the people of God are displaced and they are humiliated and they're seemingly cut off from their future. But into that despair, God gives Ezekiel a vision. He is carried by the Spirit into this valley filled with bones, dry bones, long dead bones, sun-bleached, scattered, lifeless bones. This vision is a picture of utter hopelessness. And then God asks a question: Son of man, can these bones live? Well, humanly speaking, the obvious answer is no, they can't. There's no life left in these bones. There's no possibility. There's no hope for that. But Ezekiel wisely answers, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then God commands him to prophesy, to speak a word over the bones. And as he does, something happens that stirs my memories of my 8-year-old self watching skeleton warriors. There is this rattling. The bones start coming together. Flesh forms, skin covers over them, and finally the breath, the Spirit of God enters into them, and they stand up as a vast army. Then God explains the point. Then God explains the reason he gave Ezekiel this vision in the first place in Ezekiel 37, verses 11 through 14. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. My people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. That is vivid symbolism and vivid imagery to go along with some vivid imagery. But notice that it's not primarily about an individual, about individual resurrection. It's about restoration, but it's about bringing his people back from what seemed like certain death for them as a nation. And then there's the deeper truth that is clear, and that is this, that what is dead cannot make itself alive. What God said was that God would do it, and only God can do that, and only God speaks life into death. And that brings us to the ministry of Jesus, where this reality is no longer just a vision like Ezekiel had. It becomes a flesh and blood experience with a dead man named Lazarus. And Lazarus is not symbolically dead. He is dead. He is 4 days in the tomb, dead. He is already decaying, dead. And his sisters, Martha and Mary, are just overwhelmed. They are devastated by his death. And this is that story. And I want to tell the whole story here, beginning with this part from John chapter 11, verses 17 through 27. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And that is a great story. Tell that story oftentimes around the passing of a loved one. This is Jesus making it clear to Martha and to us the hope for all of us who face our own mortality, and all of us who face the mortality and the dying of our loved ones, and that is that death is not the end of the story. In Jesus, there is yet life that is beyond this grave. Because of Jesus, those who believe in him, there is life beyond the grave. But the story doesn't stop there. So that's what he said to get this started when he meets Martha on the road, but then he keeps going, and this is the rest, well, the next part of the story, beginning in verse 28. After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. And then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? So Mary and Martha both, when they speak with Jesus, they both express that they believe that if Jesus would have been there, Lazarus would have lived. But of course, that's not what happened. Lazarus is dead, and they are in pain. But you'll notice that Jesus is also in pain. These are his friends. And notice that some in the crowds are upset with Jesus. He should have done something. That's what they're saying. He should have done something. But all of that is to get to what comes next in verse 38. This is the key moment for it. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" And so they took away the stone. And then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." The man who was dead walks out of the tomb, still wrapped in the grave clothes. The man who was dead is alive. And Jesus says, "Get him fixed up, dress him up, take off the grave clothes, let him go." What in the world do we do with that? In fact, what do we do with all of this? The idea of dead things coming to life, that God would bring life out of where there was death. What do we do with that as we live out our lives and as we raise our families, we work our jobs? What do we take from this? Three things, and the first one is this. To say this, that apart from God, there is human helplessness in death. Apart from God, there's human helplessness in death. This is true in the most literal sense, that we cannot reverse death. We cannot bring life from a grave. So it's true in the literal sense, but it's also true in the little deaths that we experience in life. Here's what I mean. It's things like relationships that have collapsed or broken or ended. It's dreams that have withered. It is hope that has dried up. It is those little moments where we reach the end of ourselves, and it happens again and again and again, when we realize again and again that apart from God, there's not much. So often there's nothing that we can do. And so the first thing to say is that apart from God's power and apart from God's work, we're helpless. But having said that, the second thing to say is that God has sovereign, life-giving power. God has the power. What we cannot do, God can do. And what we cannot restore, God can renew. Ezekiel saw it in a valley of dry bones. Martha and Mary saw it, and all the others around them saw it when their brother walked out of that tomb. And we see it. We see it as well. Whenever it is that God brings renewal in a surprising ways into our hearts, into relationships, into lives that seem beyond repair, and all of a sudden God does something there. And I know that some of you are a living testimony to God bringing life where there once was death. This is the foundation of Christian hope. It's not our ability. It's not our, because if it's our ability, we're doomed. But it's his power. And because it's his power, we have all the hope in the world. And the third thing to say with all of this is to say this, that Christ is resurrection and life. Christ is resurrection and life. A new friend of mine showed me and told me the story behind a handmade cross crafted by the Reverend Nan Zwiep while imprisoned at Dachau concentration camp in World War II. And so after the pulpit message, his pulpit message of April 19th, 1942, at his church in the Netherlands, in which he spoke out against the Nazis and their treatment of the Jews, he was arrested and imprisoned at Dachau, where he died 5 months later. My friend told me that he's the only person that they know of that Hitler personally said, go get that pastor and lock him up. Pastor Zweep created this cross made from Bakelite, this plastic material called Bakelite, and it was smuggled out and it was given to his family. And on the cross was a simple message. And down the cross it said, Dachau. But on the other side of the cross was an image of him. That's what he gave to his family, wanted to have for his family. It was his way of saying that even there, even in the face of death, he was alive in Christ because of what Christ did, because of Jesus is resurrection and life. Death does not have the final word. That pastor was, that pastor would always be alive in Christ, no matter how dire the circumstances of life became. By the way, that same friend also showed me and told me about something else. He showed me and told me about a royal birth announcement from the court of King Ferdinand VII of Spain in 1821. Basically, it was a letter announcing the birth of Isabel Fernanda Josefa. When a royal child was born, the news was sent out with an announcement. And it was an official declaration to the world that this child belonged to the king, complete with royal embossed seal. Well, there are two images for us. Those two images, the Dachau cross and the royal announcement, come together for us. They present a truth for you and for me today. At the cross of Christ, Jesus secured redemption for you and for me. Through his death, you are made alive. I am made alive. Through his death and through that new life, not only are we restored, not only are we made alive, but we are also adopted into God's family. It's as though a royal announcement has gone out over your life for everyone to see and to know, sealed by God himself, saying that you are his child. No circumstance can undo that. No suffering can erase that. Not even death can take that away, because in Christ, the dead are raised. God alone takes dry bones and makes them live. God alone opens graves. God alone breathes his spirit into lifeless heart. And that is the invitation before us today. Here it is. What are the dry bones in your life right now? Where has hope dried up? Where does something feel beyond saving? Bring that to him. Because the God who spoke over the valley of bones, the God who stood before a tomb and called a dead man to walk out of that tomb, is the same God who breathes life and breathes it today. And in Christ, here's what we know. In Christ, the dead live again. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we come as those who are lifeless apart from your Spirit. Breathe on us again. Restore what is broken and bring life where there has been death. Lord Jesus, you are the resurrection and the life. Strengthen our faith to trust you and rest in your power. Holy Spirit, fill us anew that we may walk in the life you give, freed and alive to your glory. In the name of Jesus, our risen Lord.